Hello and welcome to episode 8 of the Film Club podcast. My name is Jason.
And this is Rudy.
Now, before we get started, I guess we're going to get some things out of the way. Obviously, it's been a long hiatus since we last recorded, which was April of this year. But we're glad to be back. But basically, I just want to kind of cover over the direction of our podcast. Before, we were kind of doing the whole news segment, reviews, what we watched. We also did, like, what were we doing? Like, retrospective looks of certain films that we love.
Yeah, as children.
Yeah, but...
and whatnot. Movies that impacted us.
Yeah. But for now, we're just going to, like, we're just going to try to keep it simple. I'm thinking we could just choose a film each week that we could all agree upon, that we actually are interested in seeing, review that due to what we watch segment. That's pretty much going to be the mainstay of the podcast, those two segments. Of course, every now and then we're going to introduce other things. October's coming up, which I know we were excited about this when we first started the podcast early last year. But we're going to do a top 10 horror films, of course. Yeah. It's October. It's fall, so
we have things coming up. Yeah. So, but I think we just need to get through this one for right now.
Yeah.
So, what was I gonna say? I wanted to say something.
How have you been?
Oh yeah, I've been awesome. You?
Been alright. It's been an up and down 2011.
Yeah.
It's been rough.
But I would like to thank the one or two people that actually do listen to us. I mean, because apparently. You got some.
Yeah, it's like mail. I never even checked our email, which is I don't know what the fuck our email is. thefilmclubpodcast@gmail.com. I checked it. Some guy like messaged us, I think in May, saying, "Where are you guys at? Where's the podcast?" So I didn't even know we had listeners, but like when I saw that, that made me happy. So
yeah.
Like let's get into it. Like if we stick to it, we could.
As long as that one guy listens. We'll keep on doing that.
Yeah. So, right. I'm going by my show notes, and for some reason I wrote down Kate Hudson and Matthew Bellamy. Do you want to speak of anything, or was it just a side note?
That was just a side note. I'll bring it up if I feel like bringing it up, but yeah.
Okay.
I just thought it was important at the moment of watching Wednesday.
Yeah. Well, speaking of that... Well, let me put that back.
Yeah.
Speaking of that, we'll move on to our review of the week, which is Kevin Smith's Red State.
What does that sound mean?
Well, boy, there ain't nothing left but fire and brimstone.
Can't you hear? Can't you hear?
It's the Lord's Day of Judgment. War trumpet blast, the seals have been opened, and the horsemen dispatched. Three more blasts, and he closes the book on this wicked, wicked war! Praise his name! So come on!
Okay, well, Kevin Smith's latest is his first foray into the horror genre. Obviously, he's more of a comedic director of Clerks and Mallrats and Dogma and stuff like that.
Films.
Yeah.
Mainstream early films, I guess. Whatever.
Maybe not too mainstream, but he came out with his latest horror film, Red State. It's kind of a religious type thing, religious political horror film. It was actually financed on his own. He toured the film around the country. Obviously, he has a pretty big following where he was able to charge like $100 per ticket and people would still go, which is pretty awesome. So he used that money to pretty much finance the film to distribute it.
So what was he showing to people when like he was like charging $100
no.
per ticket?
Well, he would come and do his Q&A. Like he's really good at doing Q&As, and you would get to see his film. But other than that, it never got distribution. I mean, right now it's a video on demand.
Yeah.
But it never got like a theatrical release aside from the tour where it played in theaters. So, But whatever, he did what he said he was going to do.
It seemed like more like studios. What?
It was closer.
because it seems like too many studios were like scared to take on the project and support.
Whatever,
right?
I just think he's not a fan of the studio system.
Yeah.
But anyway, that's what Red State's. That's the story of Red State. But as far as the review, like, what do you think about the movie?
I thought it was definitely epic. Maybe a little bit too epic for its own good.
Uh huh.
You know what I mean? At points. But mm-hmm. overall, yeah, okay. It was interesting.
That's your review? You need to get into that here. You're not doing a good job so far.
I will. but you take a torch right now?
I guess I'll try. Well, movie starts off, we got like three teenagers going to have sex, whatever. The three teenagers, I enjoyed them. I enjoyed, like, this film, I actually really enjoyed the casting. I thought the acting was pretty good across the board for the most part.
No, that one cop with John Goodman.
Oh, Kevin Pollak? Yeah, he was, like, in it for, like, a second. It just doesn't matter.
No, that one scene where he's, like...
Where?
You know which one I'm talking about?
Which cop? The one that gets his face shot off? Or the sheriff? Who's a homosexual?
The one who got his face shot off.
Yeah, he's barely in it.
But he had that one scene where, like, okay, buddy, you're not that good. They need to be toned down a bit.
Yeah. I mean, I thought the first, like, half hour of the film was pretty good. Just the whole setup of, like, these kids getting captured and everything. And actually, like, like something like that I usually don't find too disturbing. And I think a big reason why I found it disturbing, I was watching it earlier, and, like, my sister walked in, and she's like, why are you watching this? It was a part where, it was, like, the first kill of the film. I don't want to ruin it. But she was, like, really disturbed by it, and she's like, why are you watching this? Like, why would you watch this? I'm like, okay, whatever. But I guess that helped me be a little bit more disturbed than I usually would be. But, I mean, I was interested in the plight of these three kids, and I was interested in that. So then we pretty much get, like, this whole big spiel from Michael Parks, which is... He's pretty much, like, the centerpiece of the film.
Who is Michael Parks?
He's the preacher guy.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I mean, he's awesome. He's been in Kill Bill. Like, he's an awesome actor.
In Kill Bill? Oh, he was the Costa Rican guy?
He was a Costa Rican guy, and he was... he played two roles in Kill Bill. I forgot what the other role is.
Hmm.
But, yeah, he was two... Two roles in that, but no, he's an awesome actress. But I'm actor, actress. He's awesome, but I felt like he was too much in this film. I felt there was too much of him.
Yeah, but I think one of his like final scenes, he got it. You know what I mean? At that moment, anyway, and I thought he was pretty effective.
I like his acting. There's nothing to question there. But I just felt like the character was just a little much. Like there was just
well, it's supposed to be much.
Yeah, I guess. But even with the like with the latter half of the film, like when you're introduced to John Goodman's character and everything, and the whole like SWAT team trying to take them down and everything, I don't know. I just felt that wasn't really that interesting. I felt like there wasn't enough like going on in the second half for me to really be invested in it.
That's why. Well, there's a lot going on, and I think it was. It was a little bit too much going on. You know, like I said, it was epic and probably for its own good. A little bit too epic for mm-hmm. its own good. So, yeah, right about the second half of the movie, that's where it probably happened.
How do you feel about, like, the filmmaking, as far as the filmmaking is concerned?
Yeah. It's definitely cool how, like, this is, like, you don't really know if this is, like, well, it's horror? Is it?
I think it's horror. Like... To me, it seems like horror.
It definitely does seem like...
Like a Texas Chainsaw type thing.
It definitely starts off with those horror elements.
Yeah.
Yeah. But then they kind of... It kind of became like this almost war movie. You know what I mean?
I guess. I don't know. Like, when people talk about like horror films and like what's a horror film. It's like there's so many different genres. It's like it's just hard to like categorize stuff like that.
Yeah,
I don't know.
I definitely liked how they switched back. I mean, you thought it was gonna go one way, but they just switched it to something. You know what I mean? So like, yeah, it wasn't as predictable. It definitely was engaging.
Yeah, I think he tried like to keep it interesting by like switching perspectives. Like as soon as they introduced a John Goodman character, I liked that it just went somewhere else. Like that was cool, but like I felt they didn't really do much with it. So
initially, I'm gonna try not to spoil too much of the movie.
Mm-hmm.
What I'm gonna say? Oh yeah, about the kids and the three friends in the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
I was like buying into this whole like horror like slasher type movie thing.
Yeah,
and I thought that was gonna happen. I thought the movie was setting itself up for that.
Yeah.
And that's where, your traditional horror elements, you know, were at its strongest in, the first half of the movie.
Mm-hmm.
The first half of the movie. What year was this movie set in? Or supposed to be contemporary?
I think it's contemporary, because they mentioned 9/11, and they mentioned 10 years later. So, yeah, present day.
Okay.
Pretty much.
Yeah, it's crazy that we're talking about this movie the day before 9/11, right?
Two days.
Yeah. Nice. Oh, well, kind of, sort of. Anyways.
But actually, like, this is the second time I saw the movie, and
yeah.
I actually enjoyed it. I enjoyed it a little bit more than I initially did.
Yeah.
Like, I don't
know. When I was watching it?
Yeah, I guess I caught more of the dialogue.
Yeah.
I just caught some more things. I don't know. I enjoyed it a little bit more. Not to say I didn't think. I don't think it's a good film, but
yeah,
I had a better time with it.
But like, even though I did say that the movie, at least for me anyway, the movie made me think that it was gonna go one way, but actually it turned into something else. So. It wasn't as predictable for me.
Yeah.
But even though that was there, like, I still felt as though I've seen this movie before. Yeah. I don't know why. I just had that feeling. Mm-hmm. So, like, I wasn't surprised that they took their surprise turns.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I felt like you could tell he was trying to do that.
Yeah.
With his filmmaking. Like, just trying to do something that wasn't as predictable. And then, like, I don't know, like, by him doing that, I got a strong sense, like, I just got, like, a whole Tarantino feel to it.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Like he was trying to do stuff, something like that. But then I was, when I seen it the second time, I felt like he was trying to do the Coen brothers a lot. Like,
really?
There's this final speech at the end with John Goodman about concerning dogs, and I'm like, that's totally, like, the same thing as, like, Tommy Lee Jones explaining his dream to his wife. I feel like that was really, and even like the ludicrousness of like when they're like going over what had just happened, like how everything played out.
Yeah.
I felt like they were doing Burn After Reading. You see Burn After Reading, right?
Yeah.
Like the whole latter half of that film, and I don't know.
Well, I mean,
I just felt like he was really trying.
It was using not a elements. Bad thing because
I guess
it's not a bad thing that you know, he got inspired or ripped off or whatever. Yeah. Rip off, inspire, same shit. But where was I going with this? What were we talking about again? his
beats. His Coen Brothers.
Yes. That's not a. I mean, he did it well. He did.
Yeah.
Whatever
he did, it worked.
Yeah.
I thought it was funny. I thought, like, what he was trying to say with the dialogue was.
If you want to start pointing fingers, you know, it's very similar to when Bill in Kill Bill was explaining, comparing
Beatrix to Superman.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't know. I mean, I don't know. I just got that. I got that sense right away, and I don't know.
Yeah. And I mean, it was done really well. I mean, I definitely admire. Admired those scenes.
I guess.
Let's see. A little bit about the actors. You know what? I did not pay attention that Melissa Leo was in it until the credits started running through. Melissa Leo, what the fuck?
I don't like her in general.
She was pretty awesome, and especially in those moments where, like, she just lost her sanity.
I didn't like her.
No.
She's horrible. She's dreadful. The fighter, she was fucking horrible. I'm on a pedestal right now.
You will have your turn. Miss Leo. Yeah, no. Like, her daughter, you know, when she first, like, comes really down, she goes psycho on her daughter for the first time.
Yeah.
And her eyes were just, like, so digitally demonic, you know? It just looked really creepy, just the way she contorted the muscles around her eyes, and just, like, it looked like her eyes were, like, all black and shit.
Uh-huh.
And then, yeah, she did that again in the girl's room, the daughter's room?
Yeah.
Yeah. So she was really good.
I don't agree.
Yep. That one part where she's telling who's the preacher guy again?
Michael Parks. I don't know. Michael, I forgot Parks. His name. Cooper, you know, or something.
She goes with the rifle. And
speak louder.
She's going with the rifle. she's holding the rifle, you know, next to him.
Yeah.
And she like pretty much tells him that she's ready to die for what she believes in. That she's ready to let go. Like, just that whole exchange between them, that moment, it brought to mind a Snake Eater. I don't know why. Does that make sense?
Snake Eater?
Yeah, Metal Gear Solid.
I guess.
I don't know. I guess I was able to envision her as a character.
I don't.
Whatever.
You know. I mean, it's a cool parallel. That's cool. But no, it didn't cross my mind.
Well, it crossed my mind, and I'm bringing it up.
I don't know. I didn't like.
And that kid.
Oh.
The main kid? Well, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like him.
He's
a lot.
He's Jennifer's body.
He is?
Yeah.
Are you sure?
Yeah, he's the one that he goes to the house on the construction.
Uh huh.
To meet Jennifer.
Oh, yeah. No, he was in a Nightmare on Elm Street remake.
Oh yeah, he was.
And he was in The Haunting. No, I think no, The Haunting of Connecticut. I think that was
him. He's not that kid from a Spy Kids movie, is he?
No.
Okay.
Yeah, a little bit. I really like him though. I don't know.
Obviously, you know, he's. You know, this is not his first foray into the horror genre.
Yeah.
But, like, I thought that was pretty interesting that, you know, he was in Jennifer's body. And Jennifer's body, you know, you could compare Jennifer's body and Red State a little bit, you know?
Yeah. I don't know.
Like, I don't, just about the whole, like, sex commentary and whatnot.
Uh-huh.
I don't know. I thought that was pretty cool. And I liked him in that movie, actually. I mean, even though he was like a kid, remember?
Yeah, I remember. I really hated the family. Like, I felt no sympathy for them. Like, they were just like
psycho.
Yeah, I mean, I understand. Like, this Michael Parks character is so charismatic, and he could lead these people. But like, I had no sympathy for them. Like. I just wanted them all to die. Like, even the kids. Like, they're already done.
they're already poisoned.
But no, yeah. So, I mean, that like, helped the movie be a little bit more effective for me, because I was definitely rooting against them, you know?
Yeah.
But, yeah, it didn't really play out.
Of course you were rooting against them.
Yeah.
Like, if you weren't, I'll be a little bit worried about staying next to you right now.
So, any more thoughts on Red State?
That
you can think of?
Since we're talking about cast, we already discussed Michael Parks, right?
Yeah,
he was definitely good.
Mm-hmm.
Man, Miss Butterfield Princess, that's what I like to call her. The main daughter.
What do you call her that?
She reminded me. It was actually a line from Jennifer's Body. Remember when?
No, I don't. It's Jennifer's body. Why would I remember Adrian anything from Brody, that?
He was trying to pick up the girl, uh-huh. whatever, and he points over to Megan Faxka.
No character.
And he calls her Miss Butterfield Princess. Anyways, enough about Jennifer's body. I like that little turn they did with her, with like you know she wants to just.
She was a coward.
She wanted to save her sister.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah, that's understandable.
Yeah, I mean, and actually, she wasn't a coward because like she actually tried to do something, even though she admitted that maybe her and her family are wrong. Like, yeah. Not these kids yet.
I thought she did a good job, though. Yeah, she was a good actor.
Yeah, and
actress.
Yeah, I was. Let's just say I was just hoping more from her. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Without kind of trying to spoil anything.
All
right. Let's see. Oh. At first, I thought it was him, Otis. From House of Doubts and Corpses, like one of those religious fanatics. Like I really thought that was him, but then
yeah.
I got closer looking. It wasn't. But you know which one I mean, right?
Yeah, Bill Moseley.
It would have been cool if he wasn't there though.
Yeah, he's awesome. Anyway,
I don't know. Anyone else that stood out to you?
No, not really. I mean, John Goodman was cool, but I thought he could have been a lot cooler. Huh. And that's about it.
I love those scenes, you know, from the initial group of friends, you know,
yeah.
those kids that you're following,
yeah,
that before they died, like across or like flash over them,
mm-hmm.
like in the first one when he turned on the artillery room lights and like. The lights hanging above them were like they're making a perfect cross.
Yeah.
And then, whatever. I did kind of ruin that one. Sort
of. I didn't notice any of that.
And
what about the last kid? Was there a cross?
I wasn't watching the last kid. But the second one, remember he was running and like he runs through the front yard. And
yeah.
There's a big cross that like flashes over.
Yeah.
As he's running.
That's pretty cool.
But I didn't know it was the third one. I totally, like, I spaced out on that idea. Because there was, like, a lot of other things to concentrate on.
Yeah.
But it'll be interesting if, like, he did continue that trend. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure he did. Like, if you notice it for the first two, I'm sure it's there for the third.
That'd be kind of a cool Where's Waldo thing. Actually, for whoever's listening, if you guys want to... check it out and see if the cross is repeated in the you know for the third kid.
Yeah, and, I mean I think I've already told them what's what.
Well, you know, you
it's already spoiled.
Why would you listen to a review?
I always listen to reviews without seeing the movie, so they never ruin it.
I think I just think different.
No, you can't see everything. So, I mean, if you're listening to a podcast, you're not going to not listen.
Well,
just because you haven't
seen
the film.
Just act surprised for whoever's listening.
Final thoughts?
Final thoughts. What do you think about the whole commentary?
I think it's okay. I mean, nothing new.
Yeah.
It's just, I don't know, whatever. And religious fanatics, like, it's nothing. I don't care for it, so.
But, I thought it was pretty interesting because, like what this past, well, this summer that just is passing. It hasn't officially passed, but it's passing.
Uh-huh.
But, like, it was either spring or early summer. Something about the rapture because this freaking religious fanatic somewhere said that it was going to happen.
And yeah, it was in the Bible. It was in the Bible, that's why.
Oh, yeah. I don't know. I guess I was reading into a different story where, well, I don't, does any of this ring a bell?
What, the rapture?
No, the fucking I don't know, this crazy preacher who like made all his money because he proclaimed the rapture or whatever.
Yeah, I heard about him. Like, yeah.
Well, I don't know.
He like changed the date. He's like, oh no, it was not. This is supposed to happen later, and then nothing happened.
Yeah, it reminded me of that. I mean,
uh-huh.
What else? Yeah, the whole terrorist commentary. I mean,
The commentary's all right. I mean, it didn't make me.
Those people are terrorists.
Like the film. I mean, I like what they're saying. I thought it was funny.
Yeah.
I thought it was true. Which is cool.
Those people are terrorists. Damn, I gotta stop being so lazy with my tongue. Alright.
So, out of five? Any more thoughts out of five?
Well, are we rating it now?
Yeah, we always rate it. Do you not remember the other episodes?
Okay. My rating, I guess, would be...
out of five.
A nice little four, I guess.
A four.
It was between a 3.5 and a four.
Okay. I'm going to give it a 2.5 to even out your love for this film.
I mean, I don't love it.
You gave it a four.
I admire that's amazing. Aspects of it. There's a lot of aspects to admire.
I guess. I don't know. Anyway, moving on to what we watched. You have anything you watched, Rudy? You want me to start? I have a long list here.
Yeah, you should probably start.
Just all right, well, knock these off one by one. Last week, I saw Shark Knight 3D. Not really much to say about the film. I actually didn't know that it was rated PG-13 when I saw it. And actually, having seen the film, like, I thought it was rated R. But it was rated PG-13. There's zero gore, like, and that's, like, the whole point of making a movie called Shark Knight is for gore.
Dude, I was interested a little bit.
I was definitely interested.
Initially, but, as soon as I saw that rating in the freaking commercial on freaking TV, the rated PG-13, I was like, holy shit, I'm gonna just avoid this shit. Like, what's the fucking point?
Yeah, there's no gore. Like, whenever there's, like, death scenes, they'll just show someone getting taken into the water, and that's it. There was just one good scene where a shark gets, like, his head, like, fucking blown up.
Uh-huh.
And you see all the chunks. Like, that was awesome. But other than that, there's no gore.
And they're giving sharks a bad name for no reason.
And, what's it called? The 3D was terrible. Like, there was no 3D.
It sucks in general.
It's like one thing to... like have bad 3D or like cheesy 3D, but they weren't even cheesy with it. It was just bad. So to get the bad taste on my mouth, I've been hearing a lot of good things about Final Destination 5. So I finally got around to seeing that, and it was pretty good. The opening, you know, they always have the opening scene where it's like a big thing, like
a big dream,
pretty much how they all died, and it was set like on the bridge.
Yeah.
I forgot what bridge. I don't know where they're at.
San Francisco?
I don't think it was San Francisco. It was a bridge, and it was just fucking awesome. Like, I don't want to ruin anything, but it was awesome. And then when the kids start getting picked off, the very first one is really freaking cool. Like, the setup's elaborate.
Yeah.
And it's very, like, misleading. Like, they don't...
Of course.
You like, think they're going to die this way, but then something completely different
happens.
They've
always done that.
I guess, but... And then, the following two, like, kills, there's one that's set in a spa type area. This could have been so much cooler than it was. And there's one set in the area where, in the hospital, where there's a lady getting laser eye surgery, which sounds pretty gross, but it could have been so much worse. So it was like, overall, like the latter half is pretty disappointing. The acting, of course, is pretty bad. But, like, for me, that first big kill and the first, like, single kill, that was enough for me to, like, recommend the movie.
I'm a sucker for sucker. I have been a sucker for the Final Destination films.
Yeah.
I mean, even though the supposed last one, the first Final Destination in 3D.
Yeah.
That was just horrendous. Initially I said to myself, like, if they make another one, I am just not gonna care. But, you know, they did make another one, and I kind of do care, so.
Yeah. And, like, yeah, I'm not a fan of 3D, but, like, the 3D was really, like, really good. And it wasn't, like, good where it's, like, they did it in a cheesy way, where they're, like, throwing stuff at you. It's, like, I don't know. While I was watching the film, I found myself, like, looking at objects, like, looking at the edges of items, like, of an object to see if it had, like, you know, like, this 3D nature to it. And it just looked really cool. Like, I'm like, this is pretty cool. Like, it, like, subtly adds an effect to the film, but it's not, like, in the way.
Yeah.
So I'm like, that's cool. You know, like, this is, like, how 3D should be. I mean, I don't care. I still don't care for it, but, like, it was good. Like, I would recommend you seeing it in 3D.
Oh, no. Well, I don't know about 3D, but I'm definitely going to watch it.
Yeah.
Someday.
So, other than that, like, I've been in love with Gordon Ramsay lately. Chef Gordon Ramsay. I finally caught up to this season of Hell's Kitchen. There's, like, 4 more episodes left in the season, and it's pretty awesome. It's actually my favorite season. Like, it's really, I mean, it's a reality show. A lot of drama going on. It's a lot of fun. And then I watched Ramsay's Best Restaurant, which I know you saw an episode with me of that.
Yeah, and that's pretty awesome.
Yeah, it's a good show. It's like, it's about all these restaurants in Britain. You basically, each episode, they pair off a different, like, style. Not style, a different origin. So it's like, be Thai dishes, like the top 2 Thai restaurants that go at it, top 2 Spanish restaurants, French, British.
How did the Thai one go?
The Thai one was alright.
Yeah.
The last 2 they did, well, because right now I'm at the semifinals, so there's 2 semifinals and then the final, so there's like 3 episodes I have left to go. And but the last 2 was North African food.
Uh-huh.
And they were, both of them were awesome. Like, fucking awesome.
But what did they make? North African food?
I don't know, because couscous, I don't know, that shit looked good as hell. Yeah. But I can't think of it off the top of my head.
I could go for some North African food right now.
Yeah. And then the last one was Spanish food, and like, both restaurants were awesome. Like, one of the restaurants was it was a female chef, and she was just like, attention to detail, like, she was fucking awesome. She's awesome. Like, she has a good chance of winning the competition, but I don't know. So I'll probably finish that up by the next time we record. Other than that, I watched, for some reason, I was, you know, sitting at home the other day, put on Friends with Benefits while I was surfing the internet. Friends with Benefits is the movie with Justin Timberlake and Mia Kunis.
Oh, I thought it was the one with Natalie Portman and Ashton Kutcher.
If it was the one with Natalie Portman, I wouldn't watch it because I don't like Natalie Portman. I don't like Ashton Kutcher.
But they're pretty much the same
movie. Yeah, they're the same thing, but like...
What was the other one called?
No Strings Attached.
No Strings Attached.
Like, yeah, they're the same thing, but...
I don't
care for them, so I would never watch them. Like,
do you ever think, like, when 2 movies that are, like, way...
What the fuck?
Way too similar.
What about it?
That, like, somebody was stealing another idea and, like, pretty much raced to the moon to see who could do it first.
No, it's a romantic comedy. It's not like they're not inventive anyway, so, like, who cares? Yeah. Remember, like, back in the day?
Or how about...
Back in the day when Nemo and DreamWorks... DreamWorks was ripping off Pixar.
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
Nemo
yeah.
came out, then we had Shark Tale.
Exactly, exactly.
What were the rat movies? Ratatouille and then Flushed Away?
Yeah. One was... Well, Pixar is always the clear bread winner.
Yeah.
But, no, and then Ants. You had Ants and Bug's Life.
Yeah. They were different movies, though.
I don't know.
I don't know. It's like... But anyway, the movie was, like, I enjoyed it. I mean, like, I felt it's a guilty pleasure. Like, I was watching it, and I don't know, Justin Timberlake, like, sometimes I question his acting, but he was good. He's just supposed to be charming, and that's what he was. Mia Kunis was pretty funny, and like that's all I asked from her. And then we have...
Just be funny.
Well, be funny and hot, and she's hot.
Just be funny, Jackie.
Yeah, like, yeah, she was awesome. She was awesome on that 70s show. I mean, she's not... This movie's not nearly as funny. But, like, it was good, you know? It was, Woody Harrelson played, like, this gay sports writer for GQ Magazine. He was hilarious. Like, he's not in it that much, but when he is in it, he's pretty fucking funny. I don't know. It, you know, plays out. Typical thing, you know, they end up together, of course. But it was good. And actually, what's her face? I'm trying to think of what her name is. Jenna... I think her name's Jenna Elfman. Do you remember,
Dang.
You remember her?
Was that supposed to be a joke at her, like, where have you been,
No, she's, like, I've always loved her, like, she's like so charming, and she plays Justin's sister.
That was kind of a slap to the face, though. Yeah. What was your name again? I remember you.
I just can't think of her name. Like, what was that show? Dharma and Greg.
Dharma and Greg, and then.
But she was in Can't Hardly Wait. I loved her in Can't Hardly Wait. She played like the angel, and I really liked her in this movie too. And Richard Jenkins is in it too. He plays Justin's father. You know Richard Jenkins. He's the father in Step Brothers. He was in Let Me In. He was the guy, the protector. He got nominated for what the fuck did he get nominated for?
Not Lumen Sunshine.
That's a different guy. I don't know. He probably Richard Jenkins. I don't know. He's an awesome actor. He's all right. He played like a father who has is it Alzheimer's when they like forget shit?
Yeah, just like we're doing now.
Yeah. That's good. That's good. But he was all right. Like, his storyline was a little much, but overall, it was a good movie. Made me feel good. Made me smile. And it was cool. There was actually... I'm talking too much about this movie, but... There was a movie within a movie, because, like, it's your typical romantic comedy, but they're also commenting on how ridiculous romantic comedies are. And there's a movie within a movie starring Jason Segel and Rashida Jones. Whatever. Do you know who Rashida Jones is?
It sounds familiar.
You should know who she is. She's in Parks and Recreation, and I think she was in I Love You Man and stuff like that. But it's cool. Like, it's so fucking cheesy, like the movie within the movie. But anyway, moving on.
What was your rating for the fucking movie?
Well, I'm not going to give it a rating. I think I gave it a 3.5 out of 5 on Facebook.
Okay.
I think I gave Final Destination a 3.5 as well. Moving on, I guess I'll get into what I rewatched. I rewatched Old Boy again. Like, the last time I saw the movie, I kind of was nitpicking, I guess. And, like, there was certain things, like, the main guy who's basically trying to get revenge on our main character. Like, I was questioning how he could be in this place. It just seemed, like, too convenient. But, like, watching it this time, like, none of that stuff, like, was even crossed my mind. And I was actually watching it more, like, paying attention to the filmmaking techniques, and I really like it's fucking awesome. Like, just the way he transitions scenes and stuff like that. I still think it's a little much, like, some of the, like, the lines of dialogue, they're a little heavy-handed, you know? But, you know, still, I love the movie. It's my fourth favorite movie of all time.
It's a classic movie with, like, this ending or this turning point that you did not see coming.
Yeah. When they're remaking it, of course. Which, you know, I was against, but Spike Lee is directing, so that makes me excited. And Josh Brolin is starring, and that makes me really excited. So, like...
Nice.
And plus, they're, you know, they're... Like, if you're going to do a remake, you might as well, like...
Go balls out.
Yeah, just do your own thing. And the original Old Boy it doesn't follow closely to the graphic novel that it's based on, and they said, like, actually, they said it's a lot different than the novel, and the movie that the remake, they said they want to follow that closely, so it's a totally different film, just, you know, bears the same name. Then I saw Inception. I was actually friend of mine who has his own podcast. He started when we started. It's called the Directors Club Podcast.
Uh-huh.
I'm so jealous of their podcast because, like, I went on their website and, like, they have a schedule of, like, they have the schedule till the end of the year of, like, what director they're talking about. But anyway,
We'll get there.
Yeah, I know. Their latest episode, they talked about Christopher Nolan. I don't know. These are smart guys, though. They're very intellectual. Like, and they had a guest, and it was a great episode, so it kind of made me want to revisit some of Nolan's films. I'm in the process of watching Memento. I got tired, so I fell asleep during that, but watched Inception. Movie's fucking awesome. You know, I have problems with some of the writing, and I have a big problem with Ellen Page. I know it's not her fault, but just the way her character
is. It is.
It's not her fault. Like, she's a good actress. Like, when she needs to, like, cry, like, you get, she's awesome.
I just wanted to give her a shit.
But the writing, her character is so poorly written. I know before I gave shit to Joseph Gordon-Levitt because it's like he's trying to play badass, but he didn't bug me at all. Like, I really liked him.
He grew on.
Like, he is badass. So,
There you go.
I actually watched the movie. I watched it in extraction mode, which is pretty cool. If you guys have the Blu-ray, watch it that way. It's kind of it mixes the film with the behind the scenes, which is really cool because most of the effects are pretty practical. So that was cool, though. Cool to do. It's a cool way to watch the movie. And then I watched Paradise Lost Part 1 and Part 2. You're familiar with these films?
Is that about the Amish kids?
No, they're not Amish. They're from Arkansas.
Okay.
It was about these... They're known as the West Memphis Three. They were convicted. They were convicted for murdering these three boys in the woods. Yeah. But, like the evidence... Like, they had hardly any evidence to get them, but they got convicted. And the reason why I wanted to go back and revisit these films is because the kids got out. Like, they got out of prison. It's been, like, almost 20 years. But I guess they found some new DNA evidence that cleared them of it, so they're out. Which is crazy, because one of them was sentenced to death row. He actually was supposed to be executed, but something happened where it didn't happen. And the other two were supposed to serve life sentences.
So what do you think? What are your thoughts? Do you think they're guilty? Or
well, I watched the film, and, like, I had seen the first one.
It's a documentary.
Yeah, it's a documentary. I think it's the guys who did Blair Witch. Oh, no, they didn't. They did a Metallica documentary.
Blair Witch.
For some reason, I thought they did Blair Witch 2. I don't fucking know. But anyway.
Let's never speak of that movie again.
No, it's all right. Blair Witch ain't that bad. At least they were trying something different. But, yeah. But, what's it called? Yeah, these documentaries, like, the reason why I kind of avoided seeing the second documentary was because I had read something on the director and how the director said, like, he purposely manipulated, like, the footage that they used to make it to make it where you want to be on these boys' side, you know? So I'm like, I don't like when a filmmaker comes out and says, oh, it's, you know, we were trying to be manipulative, we were trying to make you lean a certain way. But, like, I rewatched the first one, and, like, I didn't get that sense at all. Like, I understand that he said stuff like this, but I didn't get the sense that he was trying to tell me, oh, these boys are innocent. And, like, I don't know. I watched the movie, and I kind of, like, got an idea of how I felt about the whole situation for myself. But that's purely from an emotional standpoint. Like, to be honest, I think the kids did it, which is horrible. Like, I'm like, well, how are these kids free? But
hence the title, Paradise Lost.
But
so why did they kill these kids?
They didn't. They're free.
Okay. Well, so the documentary was making them innocent.
Well, no. See, the documentary actually focused like you know how people could look at somebody and judge them just based on how they look. You know what I mean? Like the kids look a certain way. They listen to Metallica. You know that this is kind of a side that the movie tries to kind of talk about, but it doesn't really like focus on it too much, which I appreciate it. Like it wasn't trying to say too much of that. And you know, when the prosecution who tried to prosecute them, they try to say it was some type of satanic ritual, like a sacrifice, just because in the manner that the boys were killed and stuff like that. But I don't know. Like,
is it a good documentary though?
Like, it's oh no, the first movie is fucking awesome. Like the first movie is awesome. It kind of focuses a little bit on one of the stepfathers of one of the boys that gets killed. But I mean, I do wish the movie was a little more in depth as far as like the evidence or the lack thereof, like whatever. Like I just wish they would have got more into the specific details of the case, so you could form like a better opinion on it. But other than that, like the first movie's awesome. Second movie is more centered around because after Paradise Lost came out, these boys, the guys who got convicted, they had this big old following because they think they, I mean, pretty much, I mean, because you know the whole legal system, you're not supposed to convict someone unless you're beyond reasonable doubt that they're guilty, you know, and the evidence just wasn't there. I mean, that's not to say they didn't do it, but the evidence wasn't there saying they did it, so you can't convict someone if the evidence isn't there, you know? That's just the law.
Yeah.
You can't base it off your emotions, but that just seems like what people did. And that's how these kids like got convicted, whatever.
And, I don't know, I think that whole theme of like don't judge people by their cover.
Yeah.
Like, and This was in a small town setting, right?
Yeah, Jonesboro, Arkansas.
Yeah, like, you take that back to Red State, where it's like, it's a lot of similarities, where it's like, it's not about, I mean, people, especially in these, like, smaller areas, uh-huh. Sorry, don't know what's wrong with my, anyways, smaller areas that they're more prone to go by their emotions, you know, because,
yeah.
I mean, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, when I say, like, oh, I think they're guilty, that's purely an emotional, like, standpoint, you know? Like, yeah. there's a point in the film where they ask one of the boys, like, if you could talk to the parents of the victims, like, what would you say to him? And he's basically, like, saying, like, I don't know what I would say, you know? But, like, the look that this boy has in his eyes, like, to me, it was like, he just felt, like, so fucking guilty. So, I mean, yeah, I'm just basing it off of that. Like, just looking in their eyes and seeing their eyes and just seeing
the
that.
Eyes,
like,
it the
just,
eyes say it all.
Yeah. But then part two, it takes place 5 years later. There's, like, a whole following, you know, Free to West Memphis 3, because that's what their name is. Like, there's this whole following. So the movie centers around this group while all these appeal hearings are going on, and also centers very heavily around that same stepfather of the boy, because he's just, like, losing his mind. He's taking crazy medication. He has a brain tumor. Like, this guy's fucking a whack job. So it's just about that, and, like, it wasn't as interesting to me. Like, I wanted to know more about the case. I mean, it was clear to people who were trying to defend these boys and get them free, like, it's clear that they did their research. You know, they made all these websites. They studied all the evidence. Like, they're not basing it off in an emotion. They're basing it off the evidence. And I wish they would have gotten into more evidence, because, like, I'm not going to go on their website and read the fucking case files. And, like, I mean, it's as cool as that stuff is, I don't want to do that. I'm too lazy to do that. So, but, like, the second movie is just not as interesting as the first one, unfortunately. But there's a third film. It's playing in Toronto right now at the Film Fest. It's going to debut in New York with a new ending, because as soon as the directors found out that these boys were getting out of prison, they flew down there, filmed all that shit. So the one that premieres at the New York Film Festival or whatever it's called, it's gonna have a new ending, and I'm really hoping it's gonna play at Chicago International Film Festival, but they haven't announced the full schedule yet, so we'll see.
Yeah, it's starting up pretty soon.
It's called Paradise Lost 3 Purgatory.
Purgatory. No, the festival starts next month, right?
Yeah, it's October 6th through the 20th. If I don't find a job by then, I'll be volunteering. So, I want to find a job by then. So, other than that, we had a movie night a couple weeks ago, and you could partake in this, Rudy. We saw Pontypool.
Canadian film. I could finally partake, yes.
Sorry, I know that was long.
Yes, Paradise Lost. You got really emotional about it.
It was interesting. I thought it was good. It was passionate.
Okay, so Pontypool.
Yeah.
Again, another movie about mass hysteria.
Yeah.
You know, but, like, in these smaller communities.
Yeah.
Yeah, kind of fits that whole theme.
Yeah.
Neat. Overall, pretty good.
Yeah.
It was decent.
I enjoyed the setting.
Yeah.
Like, I liked how it all took place in this radio station.
Yeah.
And just how everything just kind of plays out. And it's weird, because it's like this crazy shit is happening, and
yeah.
It just feels like they're disconnected from it, because they're, like, reporting on it. It's just very weird.
Yeah, but it was really weird, but a really effective way of, like,
yeah,
just trying to tell the story of this mass chaos. But, like, it lets you imagine. It leads a lot more to the imagination. I mean, like, they do a good job of, like, setting it up and whatnot.
Yeah.
To, like, make you imagine these horrible things going on outside this radio station. And these people are, like, you have a really small cast of characters, like, confined in this radio station. And it was done really well.
Yeah.
You know, just how, yeah. And, you know, and, like, there were moments of, like, kind of goofiness, too. Like, and, like, as goofy as, like, these scenes were, these moments, as goofy as these moments were, you know, throughout the film.
Yeah.
Like, it didn't take you out of the film. Like it felt like, yeah, it didn't feel out of place.
Yeah, it was odd, but it still fit.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know. Like, the only problem I had, like, when I was watching the movie, like, I was having trouble with the dialogue. And the movie, like, I would like to rewatch with subtitles, but I think that would kind of defeat the purpose, because, like, the whole point of the movie is, like, all this, like, shit's going on.
About sound.
Yeah, and, yeah, they do a lot of things with the sound and stuff like that, and it's just, like, it's supposed to just be overwhelming. So I think, like, I would like to see it that way, just to kind of catch everything, but then again, I don't think that's the point of the film. Like, you're supposed to be overwhelmed. You're supposed to, you know, be in a situation with these characters, and I don't know, it was very effective.
Yeah, I mean, definitely brings to mind your movies like The Birds, Night of Living Dead.
Yeah.
What was actually going on with those people?
They were getting affected by some type of word that was making them go crazy.
Yeah, frequency.
So they had to, figure something. Yeah.
But I thought that was a pretty interesting commentary about, like, just how our social structure works.
Yeah.
You know. And if you say the right word, you can control the masses, just like this guy from the Red State, Michael Parks' character. It's like, he's a very charismatic character. He knew how to say things, and he knew what to say and how to say them.
Yeah.
Whereas, like, he got people to follow him, even though what they did was extreme. Like, yeah, just like it's powerful stuff. Like, just about the power of words.
Yeah.
And sorry.
That's cool.
The power of words and how
it's a good correlation.
Yeah, if you know how to manipulate it, if, you know, you have power.
Yeah. So, is there anything you saw outside of that?
Are we done talking about Pontypool then?
Well, I'm done. Are you done?
It was a good movie. Rating.
I'm not gonna rating. What? I think I gave it a 4 out of 5.
Yeah.
I enjoyed it.
4.
All right. So, anything else?
Okay. The list? So, what did I see?
Any TV shows, anything?
Well, Tosh. A lot of Tosh.0.
Yeah, I've been watching that.
And it's a show about, you know...
web videos.
Yeah, web videos. But, like, it just got me thinking, why are we so addicted to, like, Facebook and, like, YouTube and just, like, posting... I mean, it's like, again, we're social creatures, and we just, like, we want to share everything, even though there are too many things that shouldn't be shared. Like, whoa. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't know. That's why, like, I don't go on Facebook anymore, just because, like, I don't want to be annoyed by that shit. Okay. And, yeah.
Outside of Tosh, anything?
Oh, I revisited, well, you know, if I'm not at work, I'm at home. Or if I'm not at a bar. Not at a bar or club. Or work. I am at home. Thank goodness. And I just rewatch a lot of stuff. I've been watching a lot of Simpsons.
Yeah.
The only season I have is season 6. And one of my top favorite shows from that episodes from that season was... when Bart falls in love with Jessica Lovejoy. Do you remember that episode?
Is that Darlene from Roseanne?
No.
Okay, I don't know what that is.
He falls in love with Reverend Lovejoy's daughter.
Oh, okay. She has braces, right?
No, she didn't have any braces.
I don't fucking know.
That's Milhouse's girlfriend.
Yeah, that's the what blonde. I'm thinking.
That was funny. Jessica, she's supposed to be this sweet, perfect... actually, she says that. One of the best lines from the episode was when Bart confronts her because, like, the relationship didn't turn out the way he expected it would.
Yeah.
So, she does something that frames him, and he's getting a lot of beef for it. The church collection plate money.
Yeah.
Like, he didn't want to steal it because he goes to Jessica and is like, you're turning me into a criminal when all I want to do is be a petty thug. I thought it was pretty funny. No, that's not funny.
I knew that was going to be a letdown.
Oh, I'm sorry. Well, anyways. Oh, no. That just leads up to, fuck. Sorry about that. Oh, yeah. Okay, so he confronts her because, because he's being framed for this shit.
Oh, no.
And he goes, so, fuck. I should just stop why I'm not ahead. I am way behind. But, yeah. A lot of symptoms, a lot of stuff to be appreciated there, of course.
Yeah.
And, I don't know, I watched some documentary stuff from, like, Disney movies, like, behind-the-scenes stuff. Yeah. Pretty cool.
All right. Yeah. Well, we were supposed to do, this upcoming Monday, we were supposed to do a wrap-up of the end-of-summer movies. Yeah. We're not going to do that.
Why not?
Well, mainly because, like, I mean, yeah, I've seen a decent amount of stuff. Rudy has not seen hardly anything this summer, no. Which I don't blame him. It was a fucking shitty summer.
Awesome.
And Michael, who's one of our friends, Michael, who hasn't been on the show before, he wants to Michael be on the show. Michael fan.
There's two. What is another Mike affiliated?
Yes. But he's going to be on the show, so you guys can meet him. But then again, he hasn't seen too much this summer either, so it really would be no point because it would just be like an hour and a half of me talking about movies that I'm for the most part disappointed in. So it's like, what's the point?
But you're talking very passionately about them, I guess.
Actually, I do have a lot of negative things to say about like the superhero movies and stuff like that, but whatever.
Yeah. So you're gonna go on your
rant, I think, at the end of the summer. No, at the end of the year when we do our superhero films, at the end of the year when we do our top 10, we'll pick a few topics so we can fucking like topics about the year, you know.
Yeah.
And that'll be my topic: superhero movies and how shitty they are.
Superhero movies
for the most part. I mean, Thor. Yeah, for the most part. We'll get into that later. On our next episode, we're going to be reviewing Steven Soderbergh's Contagion. Good old Soderbergh action. I'm definitely going to be reviewing Warrior, which I have already seen. I enjoyed, but we'll get into that more later. But I think, like, the main review, I'm going to try to make
it. Yeah, you definitely seem like you're back and forth with that movie,
Warrior. No, I like it. But, okay. I mean, I was...
It seems like you have a lot to say about it.
We'll get into it. I just, you know, it's not the best. It's not the upper echelon. But then again, there hasn't...
It smells juicy.
There hasn't been a lot of... like the greats. Like right now, if I could do a top, I couldn't even do a top five right now.
Yeah.
I mean,
does Hannah
Tree count? Tree of Life was Hannah, Tree of Life, and Midnight in Paris are like my top three. Crazy Stupid Love. So that's four films that I love this year. But other than that, but you know, it's the fall season. September's looking great. We're gonna be bringing a bunch of reviews. Can't wait for Drive.
Yeah.
Can't wait for 50/50.
The Drive poster looks like At first, I didn't know it was the Drive poster. I thought it was like some H&M
poster. Yeah, it's an awesome poster. It's like a model, but it's cool.
With the words of Drive in pink, like kind of like.
It's cool. It's cool.
Yeah. No, I thought it's definitely eye catching. I mean, like very very misleading, but it's a good thing.
Yeah. So stay tuned next week. Contagion, Warrior. Glad to be back. Glad to have you guys back, hopefully, listening.
Oh, yeah.
Thanks,
one or two listeners.
So let's do some plugs.
We salute you.
Let's do some plugs here.
Plugs? Well, before the plugs, I wanted to tell whoever's listening, because how we were discussing about the whole red state, the cross, you know, being shown, like, over the heads of the first three young victims. The first two. I'm theorizing that they did it for the third time, for the final kid.
Uh-huh.
And you know, whoever listening, if you want to check that out and like send us an email saying, or whatever,
yeah.
if you found it, if they do it for the third time. Yeah.
And also, like, any, you know, questions or whatever, if you want, whatever you want to say about the podcast or about movies in general, like, you know, we want you guys to be a part of it as well. So just email us. Our email is thefilmclubpodcast@gmail.com. We have a Twitter account if you want to follow us on there. We don't post too much there. We just post whenever we're releasing a new episode. If you want to follow us on Facebook, same thing there. We also have a blog, website, filmclubpodcast.blogspot.com. That's where we post. That's where we post our. Where we post our episodes, pretty much. But actually, every now and then we're going to have written reviews on there for certain films we've seen. So, you know, definitely check back every now and then for there. If you want to read our reviews, because it might be stuff we're not necessarily going to cover or go too in depth about on our actual podcast. So, you know, check that out. So, take care, guys. See you in a few days.
Thank you.
Sun, it will rise soon.